It's just a way of describing things. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. It's just an idea. How would you describe putting a square peg in a round hole or putting a round peg in a square hole? Now, is that impossible?
No.
What does it take?
Imagination.
No, it takes a square peg and a round hole and a round peg and a square hole. That's what it takes. When little children have square pegs and round pegs, are they limited by this hole that they're able to put those pegs into? Because a round peg will go into a square hole if it's big enough, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a square peg will go into a round hole if it's big enough. It's all a matter of the diameter, right?
Right.
Now, what's the diameter of your thought? This multi-billionaire mogul media guy that we just read about, Alan Burns, multi-billionaire, he says he has 500 innovative, creative ideas every day that bustle through his mind wanting to get attention. 500. Now, he's very alert, isn't he, to be counting those. See, tick, 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 tick. Yeah. I mean, if you count them alone, that's quite a chore. But I guess he would probably have his secretary sitting there clicking a clicker, and he'd say, well, now, let's build stilts for ants, or let's build a little generator that ants can walk on and create energy and electricity, or let's create a bunch of cows in the field walking around, going up and down the mountain, but we'll have them in a contained area. And so as they go around, like you have horses, you know, that you train horses in a circular stable, that they will generate electricity. Well, now, there's not a great deal of electricity that's being generated, but has that ever been successful any time in life for any purpose? And the answer is yes. In Egypt, the Egyptians used the Archimedic principle to bring water from one level up to another level just by having the turning of a handle. And the handle was turned by cows walking around in a circle, or beef, or people, or children sitting there pushing on a pedal, and they brought water up from the river to the fields at a higher level. And that's how they irrigated their lands. Those kids had terrific legs. And they shifted to beets, I'm sure. And cows, too. Now, they were creating energy, and they didn't know it. They just thought they were bringing water to irrigate their fields. And the same principle was used in Rome and in Greece to take the water in the aqueducts all throughout the city, because it was brought at various levels. Now, we here are very modern, and in the embassy, we have a picture of water on various levels, which all appear to be on one level, because the water is moving uphill, it appears. And really, it depends on how you look at it. And then we have another picture, which is done by some most creative artist, and it has people walking upside down in the picture. But you look at them, and they look like they're walking right side up, which they are doing. And you turn the picture, and no matter what you turn the picture, there are areas of the picture where people are right side up doing the right thing. And then as you turn it, there are other people doing the right side up. Those people were walking down a wall before. Very fascinating. Now, you see, when you are a person like Alan Burns, you are a person who is an entrepreneur. You know what an entrepreneur is? An entrepreneur is a person who thinks of ways of doing something that somebody else has not done in that particular way that can be profitable. A profitable way of serving humanity or serving people, and that they'll buy it. And it's not a matter of having something new. Now, Mr. what's his name, Jobs, remember him? Steve Jobs. Mr. Steve Jobs was a nice guy, and he created the Apple program with his buddies and did a good job, and then he got kicked out. He got kicked out because they wanted to have it a money-making operation. And the minute they kicked him out, he said, okay, do what you want. But you see, he didn't stop thinking. His mind was still thinking, what would make the most fantastic computer in the world? What would make the most beautiful computer? Not what's in it, not what's around it, not what's anything else, but what was it that he came up with? He came up with a computer that had everything in it, a proprietary computer. And of course, Sony and others tried to do the same thing unsuccessfully because they were too much linked to every other program. But he went off on a separate program all by himself. He went off with a loser situation. Remember what the name of that was? Lynx. It's a loser situation. It was a loser program. It was a free software program given to everybody. They could upgrade it however they was. And people thought, no, no, I just want to stay with Microsoft, and I want to stay with MS-DOS. I want to stay with IBM. I want to stay with the old standards, the old favorites. And so here this loser, Apple, went downhill and downhill and downhill. Yet it always had interesting ideas. And then, when it was about ready to fold, they came to Steve Jobs and they said, Steve, would you like to have your job back? And he said, I don't know, I'll think about it. So he thought about it. Sure. Under one condition. Under the condition that I have absolute free rein to do anything I want to do. And they said, well, what have we got to lose? We're going to close our doors shortly if we keep going like we are. So what the hell, you know? They said, go and do whatever you want. And the first thing he did was to surround himself with idealists just like himself, with people who were dreamers, the Google-type people, you know? The type of people who are thinking up ideas and unlimited ideas, the Yahoo type people, you know. Yahoo was a little slow picking it up, but they saw what Google did, and they were not slow to keep it up. And so then what happened with Steve Jobs? He said to himself one silly thing. He tried many areas. He said, I want to make something so intriguing, so charming, that everybody's got to have it. It's a secret thing that everybody's got to have it. And we're going to be a proprietary thing. We're going to keep everything in-house, keep our finger in control on everything. And he did. And then he found this crazy kid in London who was 18 years old, who had designed a gadget that you couldn't tell where the screws were. You couldn't tell where any of the connecting things of it were, but it opened and it was beautiful. And it was nothing particular, but it was what he wanted. It was a Pandora's box that he wanted, that had inside of it the mystery that would excite everybody. And so then he took this Pandora's box and put his dream into it, his dream of the ideal computer. And he made it smaller and smaller and smaller. And he brought it out. Now, the market looks at the computer and says, well, here's Dell at $500, you know, and Sony and all the rest of them at $500. Why doesn't Apple come out at $500? Well, Apple did. But everybody who has a portable Sony or Dell or whatever has what? They have a monitor next to it. And they have a separate keyboard and mouse next to it. Not built in, next to it. Well, the Mini Mac is just that. The Mini Mac is nothing, but it's everything. Everything in a little tiny box. I think Ellen has that on her desk now. But it's a little tiny box. And then you have a separate screen and keyboard and mouse. And with it, you have whatever the greatest computer has to offer. With a great memory, too. And so, this was their direction to do it for everybody. And you stick a disc in and it slides out, and it slips in and slides out. That secret way, no big tray coming out and no big tray breaking off and having all sorts of problems with it, but the little thing that's secret. So then he has his men quietly working, no announcements, but quietly working on miniaturizing everything in the computer. And in the process of miniaturization, he connects, as everybody else has, with a manufacturing firm in China who can bring these things out, Thailand or China, I think it's China, but who can bring these things out at such a fractional cost. The entire beautiful MacBook, which you and I have to pay, let's say, $1,200 for, it costs them to manufacture that at least $15. $15. And so, including shipping. And so then, but it's all miniaturized inside of a special case that looks so exciting, people want to be seen carrying it. They want to be seen playing with it. They want to open it up on the airplane. And, oh, you have an Apple. And then Apple was, of course, not stupid. They, as part of their advertising budget, went to every school in the country. Mm-hmm. Every elementary and high school, especially the elementary. And they created a computer class, and they provided free computers for every school and free training for every teacher in the Apple so that the people would be taught right. Mm-hmm. And then the generation that grew out of that wanted Apples. That's all they knew. And they became one of the most successful, or they are one of the wealthiest organizations. They have the greatest number of sales. They have the greatest number of like their iPhone sales, 4.5 million since the first of the year. 4.5 million, you know. And last year, it was just something like 1 million, you know, or whatever it was. Not bad, but not. They didn't have the hype that they have now. And all this enthusiasm makes everybody want to have it. If you're anybody, you've got an iPhone in your pocket, you know. If you're anybody, you're carrying an iPhone, you're carrying an iPod, or you carry the iPod that looks like an iPhone, you know, and people think you got it. So it's all part of the game. Now, this here is an Olympus that I'm speaking on right now. That's the WS320M model, and it's tiny too. But it doesn't begin to compare to the iPod, you know? Why doesn't it begin to compare to it? Because here you got all sorts of buttons on the outside, you got all sorts of things on it, you got all sorts of batteries and stuff that you can replace, and which is nice, and it operates perfectly. It's a great little gadget, but it doesn't have the class. It doesn't have the Pandora's box effect on the buyer. And so people are not running to their local supermarket picking these up by the dozen, but they are with the iPod. Mm. And the iPod is everywhere. And they had a fabulous iPod, and they took it off the market, and they gave people a better iPod with twice the space and about the same price. Now, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? But you see, that's marketing. Mr. Jobs, people didn't like him because he was a tough man. He wanted the very best. He wanted everything to be his ideal. And he didn't have to ask anybody's permission to do anything because he was the supreme boss. And he now has made Apple into a major industry in just a matter of a few years. But of course, many things have become major industries in the matter of a few years. But that's the magic of it. Now, what are you going to present to the world? What are you going to present to the world? Are you going to present to the world the SOB, same old stuff? The same old stuff that Jesus gave years ago? Did Jesus give that years ago? He didn't. The teachings of Jesus, if they really were taught to the people, everyone would be what? Jesus. Everyone would be free. Because he didn't teach dependency on him or his teaching. He said, it is done unto you according to your belief. And Steve Jobs decided his belief was going to be magic. And he has magic. Now, you're going to become a minister? What are you going to do? Standard Brand? You're going to go do marriages and baptizing and church work and stuff like that? Or are you going to go out and are you going to be the minister of the universe who lives what you believe, who lives the philosophy that is so deep in your heart? What kind of minister are you going to be? Are you going to be a Standard Brand minister who makes a good deal of money and has a lot of people following them thinking they're wonderful? Or are you going to be like Alan Watts, Burns here? Alan Watts is another creative fellow, but Alan Burns, multi-billionaire, mega mogul person who deals with all of the mega medias and so forth and owns newspapers and magazines and publishing houses and Wall Street Journals and all that jazz. And so what is he doing? What is he doing? He's not letting himself be tied to his money. He's letting his mind run free. If he only had that little clue, the clue in him that our friend has at Apple, then he would be unlimited. But you see, he has one failure, Mr. Burns. What's his failure? He wants to save the world and protect the ecology of the world. If that were Mr. what's his name?
Steve Jobs.
If that were Steve Jobs' idea to save the world, he'd fail. Steve is not interested in saving the world. Steve is meeting a desire. And what is the desire? Pandora's box. If you could create a box that is so inviting, so exciting, and so magnificent, everybody wants it. It doesn't matter what's in it. And so, Steve was interested in computers. So naturally, there'd be a computer in the box. Now, what are you interested in? Are you interested in teaching yourself, I am number one? Well, then be it. If you're number one, get in that box. And make yourself so exciting. Make your casing so exciting. Be healthy. Live forever. Live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. That's what Jesus told us to do. That's what all philosophers tell us to do. That's what the world tells us to do. But you see, the world cannot make money off of you being in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. It's when you're sick that they make money. You know? But sickness is like mistletoe. You know what mistletoe is? What does mistletoe do?
It finally kills its host.
A mistletoe is a parasite. And it kills its host. It eats up its host. It's like cancer. Cancer are beautiful cells that just keep multiplying. And they're great cells. And they're not concerned about anything. Well, how they get going, where they get going, but they kill their host. Now, they can also turn around and be the genius of their host too. And everything in divine order. What is the divine order of the body? What is the divine order? What is the original pattern for who we are? That's what we want to do. We want that perfect Pandora's box. That perfect box that Steve Jobs came up with. And he's going to come up with some more, too. You watch and see. He's got some ideas that Microsoft wants to come up with Dick Tracy's watch that has a computer in it. Microsoft is coming up with a watch that's in your thought system, and you think it, and it works. Now, how are they going to sell that? That'll be interesting. Now, that will be the genius part. To come up with the possibility, that's already a fact. But how are they going to market something that is a thought? And now that'll be the real genius. So watch your local University of Healing programs, and we will announce these things as they will come to light. And we will announce them before they happen, but you will have to figure out what station to listen to find out where they're happening. And if you're wise, that station will be inside yourself. So, for today, we have gone 20 minutes, exactly 21 minutes, and we have talked a little about nothing and had a lot of fun, I think.
Yes.
Have a wonderful day, and know I love you, I love you, I love you!